We are bringing you Matter of Fact. Senior researcher at Africa Check, Kate Wilkinson, joins us now. Hello, Kate.
Hey, Azza.
She is looking so beautiful. Where are our cameras? I think you're showing off today.
Oh, well, I have to try sometimes.
Ooh, gorgeous
to
rap.
To compete.
Yeah, gorgeous rap. So let's start with what happened in Parliament with the president. We'll get to the big news. I think this is a wonderful development. I did tease it a little bit earlier on that Africa Check is joining Facebook's fact-checking program. Well, you'll find out in a short while. But the president was asked an interesting question, which raised another interesting question from his response.
Absolutely. So a while ago, we were looking at questions and answers in Parliament, and it's really a great time to get a measure of, you know, the political mood and environment, see what pressing questions are being put to the president.
Yes.
And we often enjoy fact checking those questions and answers, because often people are a bit more off the cuff. They often are maybe reading a prepared statement, but there's a bit of engagement. Sometimes the president strays from his prepared answer, and it sometimes gives us some really interesting claims to fact check.
Yeah.
So like you said, first of all, there was a question from the Democratic Alliance, and the president was asked to guarantee that the ANC would not benefit a cent from deals that you have made in China. And the president was not very impressed with that question.
Jumped right in there.
Yeah, and he responded to say that it was quite an insult, that in fact didn't deserve an answer. And that then led on to another question with an ANC member asking the president for details on how a 33 billion rand loan from China would help Eskom ensure electricity supply in southern Africa.
Yes.
And that's interesting, because we're not talking about South Africa, we're talking about southern Africa. And the president went on to say that that loan would go towards developing the new Kusile power plant, and this would increase the capacity of South Africa's electricity grid and help to keep supplying neighboring countries with electricity. And he said that in part, this is because, you know, countries like Zimbabwe continue to import electricity from us.
Yes. So are we supplying electricity, exporting our electricity from Eskom to countries like Zimbabwe? And what are the others as well?
Yeah. So that was the question that a few people got in touch with us to ask, because we're quite sensitive about our electricity. We've had some bad experiences.
Yes. We don't keep going up. We're told not to use too much. It's just...
And we've come from the dark years where the lights kept going out.
Yeah.
And I think we're all somewhat scarred from that.
The load shedding years.
Yeah. And we sometimes, as a collective consciousness, we seem to think that, you know, we have very little electricity and it's very scarce. And I think people were a little bit put off that some of our valuable electricity was being sent outside of our borders. So people were, I think, confused and curious. So we set out to see, you know, exactly what is the situation, who do we send electricity to, and what is the deal?
Yes. So who are these countries in southern Africa?
Yeah, so we spoke to Professor Anton Eberhard, who is at the UCT Graduate School of Business.
Yeah.
And he's actually been quite intimately involved with Eskom and over the years. And in 2015, he was appointed to a board to oversee Eskom's turnaround. If you want to know about Eskom, this is the man you want to speak to. And he said that, in fact, it's not just Zimbabwe that we export electricity to. We export electricity to seven countries in southern Africa. And on the list, we have Zimbabwe, then Lesotho, Eswatini, which was formerly known as Swaziland.
Yes.
Namibia, Botswana, Mozambique, and Zambia. So there's
the
queue.
Entire region.
Yeah, there's
That's
a queue.
That's actually the entire, I mean, Angola, yeah, but literally.
And there are a few questions here. First of all, what is the deal? Yeah. So here we're looking specifically at the claim that was made about Zimbabwe. And we spoke to Eskom, and what they said, they gave us the very government jargon term. And they said that Eskom has a firm power supply agreement with Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And under that agreement, Zimbabwe gets 50 megawatts of electricity a day, but they can ask for more. So if they do need more electricity, then they can request it.
Yes.
And if they give 24 hours notice and there is electricity available on the grid, then South Africa will supply.
Subject to that availability.
T's and C's.
Yes.
They always
okay.
apply.
All right. Because, you know, so if you had to say that we, if there's anything that suggested that we put them ahead of our needs, you can imagine the reaction.
But that's also the other part of the interesting part of this fact check is that, and a couple of weeks, if not months ago, we did that interesting fact check on the Eskom numbers and, you know, why has the cost gone up? Why has the number of people that they're employing
yes.
gone up and the cost of their salaries gone up, but supply has mm-hmm. flatlined.
Mm-hmm.
And what's quite interesting is we are quite protective of our electricity supply because we have this hangover that we think it's going to run out at any moment. And there is, of course, the chance that there could be blackouts or there could be load shedding. But what experts will tell you is that supply and demand of electricity has been pretty flat in South Africa. Largely, experts agree that we have enough electricity mm-hmm. to meet our needs,
mm-hmm.
And that if there is excess, that there's no reason that we shouldn't be making the most of it and exporting it to countries who need it.
Yeah.
And when you look at Zimbabwe, that is definitely the case. This
yes.
is a country which does need electricity, to import electricity for a number of reasons.
And without this importation, it would be lights out in Zimbabwe. And we can't have that in the region, frankly.
No, and absolutely. You know, if we look at Zim, they're not just importing electricity from South Africa. They're also importing electricity from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yes.
As well as from a hydropower plant in Mozambique.
Mm.
So they have a huge demand and a huge need for electricity.
What is the state of their power company, the Zimbabwe Power Company? Do they generate power for Zimbabwe at all?
So there is power generation in the country, but the condition of the plants and the maintenance of the plants is not very good. And our expert from UCT said that it makes complete sense for Zim to be importing this electricity. As like I said, its own power stations are badly maintained and it's not producing enough electricity to meet local demand. And he in fact said that if the country didn't import this electricity from South Africa, that there would be blackouts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a feeling that, you know, we've yet to see the sort of turnaround that people did expect from the change in Zimbabwe. But local industry feels that, you know, if industry does get kickstarted, if the country does start to, you know, grow, if the economy does get fired up, the demand for electricity is only going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not able to produce the electricity inside the country, they're going to have to get it from elsewhere.
Yes.
And these are the sort of the agreements that are going to help the country keep the lights on.
Absolutely. And do we know what is owed to if these accounts are up to date?
Ah, that is a good question.
From all these countries, if their accounts are up to date.
So no, that's not something we looked at, but that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a look. We need a claim to check. So we'll see if there have been any claims made about the accounts owing.
Yes.
But I'll have a little squiz when I get home and see
okay.
if the books are in the black.
When it comes to the measure of electricity, I can't tell how much is, because we hear kilowatt per hour.
Megawatts, gigawatts.
Yeah. So when you hear 50 megawatts is what Zimbabwe imports from South Africa, is that a lot? Is that, where are we on the scale of quantity and how much is it a lot?
So if we look over the years, we can see that, like you said, Zim is able to import 50 megawatts per day.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the last year in 2017-18, over the whole period, they imported 2,250 gigawatt hours.
Okay.
Which is many magnitudes that.
Mm.
So they are importing a substantial amount.
Mm.
But exactly, you know, the proportions and what that means in the overall picture, I'm not too sure.
Right.
About.
Yeah. Maybe someone's listening, they can give us a quick guide to how to understand this measure of electricity and where we are exactly when it comes to saying 50 megawatts per day and then the gigawatts that are imported annually. So if you have any thoughts, any responses, we'll take them on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. Zeb from Rockville on WhatsApp says, how shocking and interesting. So do they also tell these countries to use electricity wisely? And don't they also get load shedding? Why don't they also get load shedding? Right.
See, we're protective of
exactly,
our electricity.
Exactly. This certainly indicates that. So if there are any more questions, we'll always come back to address them in the course of the conversation with Kate. But the lines are open to you on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. Now, there was a very interesting mail that you got from one of our listeners. And they wanted you to fact check this list. It's quite a laundry list of employees in Parliament. It says, can you imagine working for a company that has a little more than 500 employees and has the following statistics? So this person sent it in asking Africa Check to verify these so-called statistics that are detailed in this link. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card. And so it goes. But in essence, it is 373 in total of approximately 70, which is approximately 70%. And this is said to be the reality within the South African Parliament. So after this list of shocking figures, then it concludes with it's the 535 members of the South African Parliament. And so we do Melo sent this asking Africa Check to verify some of these details.
Yeah. So it's a similar to a number of messages that we've actually seen over the years. And I think here, is where we sometimes come to the limit of not just what fact checking can do, but what Africa Check can do.
Yes.
I would love for us to check this list for Buthemelo and to see whether it's true or not. The reality is, I think we would need our whole team working on this project for a matter of months.
Wow.
To verify this information. And I don't know if some of the information we would be able to verify.
Yes.
So we're looking at claims that, you know, 19 people have been accused of writing bad checks. Does accused mean that they've been charged? Does it mean that someone's just said that they've written bad checks? There are claims that, you know, we've got here that 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We've got claims about people doing time for assault, having bad credit records.
Drunk driving.
Mm-hmm. And
being in currently defendants in lawsuits,
yeah,
shoplifting, so a whole variety of things.
We have very limited resources, and we have to choose how we use those resources. It's not to say that, you know, claims like these shouldn't be fact-checked. In an ideal world, they should.
Yeah.
But I think in the absence of us being able to do this, which we don't have the resources to do, it really then you get to empower yourself to decide whether this is information that you want to share. If you get this information and you question its authenticity, if you don't think it's accurate, then you can play a very important role in stopping its spread. And, you know, if you want to try fact-check this, we have a number of resources on our website. We could point you in the right direction, but my advice would be, I think they're making some pretty wild claims that would be very difficult to substantiate. If this was accurate, someone would have done an enormous amount of research to determine this, and someone would be very proud of that research, and it would be online.
If
you can't find any record of this research, I suspect that a lot of it would either be incorrect or unable to be substantiated.
Right.
And I wouldn't advise people share this because we just can't be sure of its veracity.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not attached to any kind of source, which also is quite telling. Very, very telling. So let's talk about the news.
I know, it's very exciting. We celebrated and then we got down to hard work.
Of course. So what this means, you'll tell us what it means, but the news is that Africa Check has joined Facebook's fact-checking program. Because we are in an era where there is so much fake news coming out of Buthemelo's email, one can certainly appreciate the value of someone watching what is put out there.
Absolutely. So we are very excited to be joining Facebook's fact-checking program.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the first organization to be joining the program, and we definitely won't be the last.
Yes.
In fact, there are almost 30 fact-checking organizations who are working across the world in 17 countries who have been doing the work that we're just starting now for a number of months.
Yes.
And what that work is to assist Facebook to really clean house and to get fake news, misinformation, false information off of people's news feeds so that it doesn't mislead people, it doesn't create misconceptions or create impressions that aren't accurate.
Yeah.
And it really means that what people are seeing every day isn't littered with information that sometimes can be tricky to discern whether it's true or it's false.
Yeah. So what kind of information, like how do you determine which pieces of posts or information on the platform should be checked?
So at the moment, Facebook is identifying this information in a number of ways. So the first way is through algorithms and computer learning and machines that are very clever and are able to identify if a post, whether it's a URL, a picture or a video, they're able to suspect certain pieces of information could be false.
Yes.
And then that gets put onto a list that we can see. The other way is that listeners and readers and all our supporters can flag this information for us. So when you're on Facebook, if you see a story that you think is fake or incorrect, at the top of each bit of content, there are three little dots in the top right-hand corner. You click on that and you can send feedback and you can mark it as suspected false information. That will also send it our way. And then the third way is we're just going to carry on doing what we've always been doing, and that is monitoring the media, and part of that is social media. When we then log into the back end of Facebook, we see all of this stuff and we can choose what we want to check.
Right.
And what we're going to be looking at is content, so claims, pictures, images, videos that could lead in most cases to immediate and sometimes physical harm. So we're really interested in how information can directly harm people's lives.
Yeah,
and there
are
a number of ways that that can happen.
Yeah.
So it could happen if you see a post shared about how to treat HIV with a new cure that is being promoted. That could lead people to start taking that cure and stop taking the antiretrovirals, and it could make them sicker.
Yes.
We're going to be looking at posts about minority groups and migrants, so viral claims about immigrants selling counterfeit goods or viral claims about immigrants committing crimes, which could lead to the impression that, you know, they're having a negative impact in society, which could lead to acts of retribution or xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
We're really going to be looking at those, at fake information, which can have a tangible effect. For the most part, we're not going to be looking at claims by politicians. In fact, political speech and claims by politicians can't be fact-checked on Facebook. So we are going to be looking at dangerous claims that can harm people. And in the case where we find that those claims are incorrect, we will publish a short spot check saying why, so that you can understand. And once we've done that and marked it as such, Facebook will reduce that claim spread on the platform by up to 80%.
Right. So circulation will be heavily
absolutely
reduced.
We're not removing things from Facebook.
No.
If you follow a page which shares quack health cures or claims about migrants, you'll probably still see it because you follow them.
Yeah.
But if you share it or if you like it, it's not going to be able to spread as far into your networks as it would have before.
So I will be spared all of that. Somebody else. And so on. So what are the examples that you've had? Because there have been some real life examples, and hence the question of protecting from harm.
Absolutely. So we have fact checked a lot of health cures over the years, and we really do see information about health being spread very widely on social media. And we have to remember that in some countries, Facebook almost is the internet. And Facebook is where you get all your news, where you communicate with your friends, and you get information to base your decisions on.
Yes.
So we've looked at health cures, but just last week we decided to dip our toe into the project and do our first fact check. And we looked at a claim which had been published by a fake news website. So when we use the term fake news, we're referring to a very specific thing, and that is a website which has been set up. To the average person,
it looks legit. I've looked at a couple of them. They look legit, meant to fool you.
Yeah.
Designed to.
If you stumbled onto them, you wouldn't automatically suspect that it wasn't a real news website. And on this website, it reported that the energy minister, Jeff Radebe, had managed to convince President Ramaphosa to allow previously disadvantaged people to pay less for fuel by means of subsidizing them. So the claim we're looking at here is that a certain group in South Africa is receiving preferential treatment over others when it comes to how much they're going to pay.
And this could lead to harm.
Yeah, so what we're looking at here is we're looking at misconceptions being created, misunderstandings. We're looking at a story being published which makes it appear as though government is favoring, in this instance when it comes to the cost of fuel, one group over yeah. the other.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this on its own, maybe if we look at the story, maybe no harm would ever have come mm-hmm. from the story. But mm-hmm. there are a few things we have to remember.
Mm-hmm.
This is not useful useful information to people. Its intention is to mislead.
Yes.
And the reason it wants to mislead is because it wants the story to make a stir. It wants it to go viral and attract an enormous amount of traffic to its website
mm-hmm.
where they have adverts set up and they will make money from that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an intention to profit off misleading people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also what Facebook wants to crack down on, is that they don't want the platform to be an off-ramp onto these websites and help fill and line pockets on the basis really of completely incorrect information.
Yeah, yeah. So this one was on Breeknees.
Mm.
This is where this was claimed, but usually with your process, you would start with the source, contacting the source. Did that apply in this case as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, when it comes to these fake news websites, often you can't contact
them.
Yeah,
exactly. They're for the proof.
So we weren't able to contact them, but we then contacted the other source, which would be, if this
government.
Was true,
yeah.
government would have said it.
Jeff.
So, yeah, so we got in touch with the Department of Energy and we spoke to a spokesperson there and they said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
The minister did not make this claim. And then we just dug a little bit deeper to understand, you know, what goes into the petrol price. So we spoke to a few experts who told us that there are about four things that contribute to the petrol price.
Mm-hmm.
The first is the basic fuel price. The second is the general fuel levy. The third is the road accident fund levy. And then there are other costs like distribution and transport costs.
Yes.
And all of these mean that the petrol price is set in South Africa. No one can offer a discount. No one can give preferential treatment to any group, whether it's based on race or religion or gender.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we were told if anyone did offer a discount like this, they'd be breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our first attempt at helping to clean up Facebook
yes.
and get fake news off it. But I really, the listeners can play such a big role in this because I know I'm on Facebook every day.
Yes.
And if we could just flag one piece of information that you think might not be true, it can help get it in front of us, and we can help really get, you know, dangerous misinformation that has the has the chance to hurt people
mm-hmm.
off of news feeds and really reduce its circulation.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Africa Check as it joins a list of 27 other organizations around the world to Facebook as part of Facebook's fact-checking program. So they really have thought hard about how to resolve this question because it has plagued them for so long that there was the issue concerning the Rohingya minority in Myanmar. In 2013, in fact, there was that image of a Boston Marathon runner who had been hurt during the race. There's just so many things that have happened online on Facebook. And I think this is as labor intensive as it is. Yes, you've got the algorithms there, but it does need human intelligence at the end of the day. But as labor intensive as it is absolutely vital.
Thank you. And we want to work with people, and we're not telling people what they can or can't post.
Yes.
And all of our work that we do will be transparent.
But
so.
As someone who receives this, who's on the platform, it's also in your interest to enjoy it in a way that is safe and not harmful to other people, but to yourself as well. And report all the stuff that is what? Suspicious.
Absolutely. If you think there's a problem, you know, the security companies say dial it in.
Yeah.
If you think there's some false information, let us know, and we'll try and figure out where the truth lies. So that, you know, your newsfeed isn't littered with misinformation.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thank you. One says, hi, interesting chat today. What are the countries that import our electricity paying for the electricity as opposed to us in SA?
I will find out and tweet you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's Kate Wilkinson. And she'll be back second Monday from now to just clarify a claim that's been made in the public arena.